He's going to make two things out of it. He's going to make saved people and lost people. Okay? And Pharaoh was just one of them, that part of that lump that was unto unrighteousness. He was going to show his power in this wicked king. And he says, to make one a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Again, if you let the tree get in your way, it'll mess you up. He's just saying it's a lump. And he says, what if God, willing or desiring to show his wrath? There's another thing he shows. What did he show? I'll show my power, desiring to show his wrath. There's the second thing he wants to show. And to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath. Now, guys, listen. He's suffering. God long suffers with this mess down here. He is not disconnected. He's not taking a hike. He's not wound it up and walked away like the deist said. God suffers every time a baby is aborted. God suffers every time some act of sin is occurring. God suffers as he sees mankind killing mankind. Stealing and hating and bitterness and anger and rage. But God's Word tells us that there is also joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. He not only suffers, but he rejoices. The Bible says he actually sings over us in one place in the Old Testament. He says, wanting to make his power and much long suffering, he says in verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of the glory of his glory. He wants to make known his glory. There was no other place. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says that God has ordained that he might demonstrate to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God through the church. He's called us out and he's made up his mind. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to take this lump that's a mess and I'm going to make it into what it's got to be. I'm going to let it go unfolding, and I know who will believe and who won't, and I'm willing for all that. And because he let it unfold, yes, God is a God of sovereignty and knows all things and from the beginning. But he didn't make us believe. He calls all men to believe. And if you don't cross over the line, you can't be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that's where you have to come to Christ. Did you see the front of your bulletin? I have decided to follow Jesus. Paul was told by King Agrippa, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Well, almost don't cut it. And he was being almost persuaded because the Holy Spirit was coming with power on that man's heart, calling him. And he said no. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had much possessions. And people reject him. He was despised and rejected. Why would he be rejected if he wasn't offering himself to them? Why would they be so angry? They're angry because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he sent forth his Spirit into the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What's the judgment? The judgment is if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. Then it's still in the book. You need Jesus. You need mercy. And if you allow it to slip by and sin away your day of grace, he will give you up. And if you keep pushing against his envelope and the word of God in your hearing gets a little dimmer and dimmer, he'll give you up and give you up, and pretty soon you're going to just go quietly to hell. And there will be not what our minds would think. What our minds would think is if somebody rejected God, what he would do is he would hit them with a bolt of lightning. Get them! Boy, they're... But the psalmist says in Psalm 78, there's no pain in their deaths. They prosper. Why do the wicked prosper? Why? Because God's wrath is him giving them up. Giving them up. Giving them up. And they really become brutish. The Bible calls them brute beasts, meaning their hearts are cauterized. And they religiously chase all their foolishness. Whether it's a global warming or a save the animals or, you don't wear fur or whatever, they get some cause and they put it in there, and that's their religious kind of passion. God gives them up. The Bible says in verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured long suffering, and that he might make known his riches of glory, verse 23, which he hath prepared before. It's all about promise. It's all about foreknowledge. He knew ahead of time. He prepared us for this. Even us, in verse 24. Love that, don't you? Even us. He's prepared glory for us. Underline those words. Even us. This is what he wants the Jews to know. But his heart breaks because they won't listen, and they've missed it because they were chasing their birth and they were trusting their wish and their desire. Verse 25 says, and he says, and he gives a bunch of passages. He says, Isaiah tells us that he's going to take a people who are not my people and call them my people. He's going to take in verse, that's in Hosea. And in verse 26, he says, it shall come to pass in the day where they were not my people, they will be called my children of the living God. That's you and me. We weren't His people, now we're called the children of God. He's quoting Scripture because his head, his mind's around what God's plan is. His plan is one of mercy. Verse 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel that the number of the children, though the number of the children be as the sand of the sea, the remnant, there's an article here, the remnant shall be saved. So there's going to be a remnant. We're going to talk about them in chapter 11, but the remnant is going to be saved. Only a remnant, though, and that would be proper for us perhaps to put in italics in there. Just a remnant, will we say, just the remnant. Because they're going to be all caught up in their birth. They're going to be all caught up in their willingness or their wishing. Not to him that willeth. Not to him that runneth. In verse 16, but of him, of God who shows mercy. They can't go for mercy. What does he say in verse 28? He says, for he will finish the work. Literally, he is finishing the work. And it's the word, really. The word is word, not work. And it's both times word. He is finishing the word. When the church was ushered into its existence and God brought forth Jews and Gentiles as one people of God in this dispensation in which we live in, He was bringing things down to their end. And He's got one more dispensation, the kingdom age, where Jesus will be on earth and He will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and after that, game over. But the church will have failed so miserably, Jesus will have to come and intervene. And then when it gets Israel back where they need to be, He'll usher in His kingdom. He's finishing the work, beloved. That's what He's saying. He's finishing the word. And the Bible says He's going to cut it short, or He's cutting short. And the idea is to cut up into pieces. And that's the idea of dispensationalism. And in verse 29 he says, and as Isaiah has said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a sea, we would have been a Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I wish my people would be saved. He's all talking about, I wish my people would be saved, but they're not. My heart breaks for them. They're trusting their birth and they're trusting their wish, but he's also saying they're trusting their works. Look at verse 30. He says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. It's all about the promise. It's all about faith. It's all about Him that shows mercy and believing. We need mercy. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law, the word literally is persecuted or chased it with all their hearts. In verse 31, he said, which chased with all their hearts after the law, hath not laid hold to the law of righteousness. They don't get it. It wasn't about sacrifices, and it wasn't about birth, and it wasn't about wanting to be God's person. It's about Him that shows mercy. David found it when he's out there in the wilderness just singing to God, and found Him as a shepherd and how God loved him. But more than anything, he found it when Jesus restored his soul after he committed adultery and murder. The Bible says, why, in verse 32, why didn't they attain to it? It says, why didn't they get it? It says, because they sought it not by faith. The only way to be saved is by faith, taking God at His word. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. Doesn't say, why didn't they get it? Because they weren't elected. God never pulls that card. He says, why didn't they get it? They didn't get it because they didn't receive it by faith, which means they must have been responsible to do so. But they wanted to champion their own ideas. He says, but as it were, by works of the law. They didn't receive it by faith, but they thought, we're going to focus on the works. We're going to focus on the works. We're going to focus on the works. So it's not of willing. It's not of being born in a certain way. And it's not of works. They're focusing on works. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. And I'm afraid this morning that some of us might be stumbling over a stumbling stone too. Now, we don't have a whole lot of adornments in our ministry, but we do have some. If you go to High Church Rome, you'd find statues, and you'd find vestiges, and you'd find vestments, and you'd find booths where people go for confession, and you'd find a list of things called sacraments to whereby you can get grace, and they would say, these are our works, and there's a stumbling block there. There is enough gospel in the Catholic Church for people to get saved there, but there's so many stumbling blocks, the chances are very, very remote. It's when you give up all the stuff and go to Jesus. That's when you get saved. That's it. Okay? But you and I, we have some things. We say, well, I go to church. That's a stumbling block if you let that be. It's not about going to church. If you go to church because you think that's going to give God a pittance of your time, you got another thing coming. That's a stumbling block. You don't go to church to say, here, God, look what I gave you. Because He says, that's a stumbling block. You're missing it. You're going after that. What about giving money? Well, I don't give any money. Well, there you go. That's not a stumbling block for you. But you may not know the God who says you need to give. You need to give 10%. And then after you give me my 10%, then you need to give me a little more. Whenever you can. That's what it says. But that can be a stumbling block. Because you can say, well, I gave. What about church membership, baptism, Lord's Supper? All those things could feasibly and possibly become in our minds a stumbling block. Because we say, I did that. That's our works. He says, no, it's not of works. We do those things because we're saved. We chase God because He's worthy of our seeking. He says, he that comes to me must believe that I am, and that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. He says, David in the Psalms, my heart pants for you as the hart pants after the water brook in the woods. Guys, listen. There are a lot of things that the Christian life entails that can be a stumbling block. My heart as a pastor concerns myself when I see that sometimes we don't give even the least things much press in our lives. Church on Wednesday night, it's the least thing. It's not anything. It's little. It's on the list. But we don't make time for God. So my concern is not that we have the stumbling block of works in our minds right now, because I don't think we're looking at our list. We're not looking at anything. I go to church. I go Sunday morning. That's it. I don't read my Bible and I don't pray. He says it's a stumbling block. Those things were a stumbling block for Israel. The works. But we live in Laodicea. And our stumbling block is birth. We think we're better than they are. We got saved in a good church. We read the Bible. We're better than everybody else. You know, the people who go to church regularly are people who believe they can lose their salvation. And because somebody told you you can't lose your salvation, you think you don't need to. And ultimately what ends up happening is you may be assuring yourself of your election and call of God when in fact it's not there. There ought to be a hunger to be in God's house, simply put. There ought to be a hunger for God's fellowship with God's people. He says, don't forsake it. Why? Because when you forsake it, you end up finding the deceitfulness of sin coming into your life and you begin to play a game of changing the likeness of God. The Bible says you can even slip and drift to the point of blindness, forgetting that you're even saved. You say, I know I'm saved. Well, that's good. But I want you to know that if the church shuts down in America, it's going to shut down because God's people didn't show up. That's why it's going to shut down. And this passage is all about what it looks like to be a child of the promise. What's the child of the promise? He's somebody who believes God, takes God at His word. We don't even know it. We're going through the books of prophets in Isaiah. We've gone through the minor prophets. And we got some good stuff. And I'm lit up about what God's got right around the corner. But for those of us who don't have the promises clear in our hearts, we don't purify ourselves even as He is pure, because we don't have this hope in us. Beloved, everlasting joy is just over yonder. He says that they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Do you know what? God put the stumbling stone there. It's His stone. It's called His Son. And He knew people would miss it for the accoutrements. He knew people would miss it for the adornments. He says, but I'm looking for the true-hearted. I'm looking for the hungry and the pitiful. Those who realize they're poor. I'm looking for them. And they stumbled at the stumbling stone He put there. And the Bible says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. Let us not congratulate ourselves on our wishing or our birth in America or in the church, in a churchy family. Let us not congratulate ourselves on what we have done. Let us look inside deeply and say, am I understanding? I'm in need of mercy every single day. You need it every day. Not one of us has arrived. Not one. And the least I can do is say, God, You are good. And I will do everything I can to prosper Your kingdom on this earth. While I have breath and while I have life. It's not time to lay down, guys. The world's getting darker. And if one little candle shines alone, it brings a little light. But when 10 or 20 or 50 of us all shine together, we got some light going on. And the world sees that. I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. Look at this. A rock of offense. But he that what? Believeth. Will not be ashamed. Back to the promise. Back to the purpose of God. Back to the program of God. What's He want? He wants to show mercy. But they that are well don't need a physician, do they? The Word of God is powerful. And every time we hear it, it humbles us. Or it should. If it doesn't affect us, It's not because God's Word's not got the power. The Bible says His Word will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish the purpose to which it was sent. So when the Word came out this morning, you have to ask yourself, what was God trying to accomplish by taking me through this chapter? Would you bow with me for a moment?